Well, as I stated a couple of weeks ago, as I laid the foundation for the prophetic, when the Lord poured out his spirit on all mankind, upon all flesh, he stated in Joel 2:28, he said, I will pour out my spirit on all flesh in the latter days, and your sons and your daughters will prophesy, your old men will dream dreams, and your young men will see visions. Well, I guess I'm starting to fall into that category of an older man, because I have had lots of prophetic dreams given to me by the Lord. And when I was in Costa Rica last spring, the Lord downloaded a prophetic dream into me just about every night, and I had my prayer journal, my dream journal, kept handy close beside my bed, and I was doing a lot of writing every morning. And so this is what I'm sharing with you today, and this is what I'm sharing with the world. We're releasing these dreams over a national prophetic website, so people will be prepared. And God's primary purpose, brothers and sisters, is that none should perish. He tells us in 2 Peter 2, Second Peter 3, verse 9, he says that his desire is that none should perish, but everybody should come to know his repentance. And he's not slow, as some count slowness, but he is patient towards us. And so God's will is that everybody should come to know him, that all should turn to him and turn from their wicked ways. And so when we see things out there in the landscape, when we see things on the horizon that may be frightening at times, they may be scary when we think about them, when we talk about them, just keep in mind that God's primary purpose, God's ultimate goal, God's ultimate purpose in bringing anything into a nation, or removing kings, or removing congressmen, or removing people, or moving people, or whatever God chooses to do to shake people up. He says in Haggai, I'm going to shake the heavens and the earth. And so expect a shaking, brothers and sisters. A shaking is coming. And you know that it's already started. It's already, things are starting to shake out. The economy is starting to shake out. We've had a great precipitation in the housing industry. We've had great precipitation in the job markets and unemployment. We've had great precipitation in the movement of money away from certain types of investments and into other types of investments. And so God is bringing to a climax his word, and he's watching over his word to perform it. And so everything that God speaks about in his word will ultimately come to pass. And as a prophet of the Lord, as God has given me prophetic words and prophetic dreams, it isn't my duty to bring it to pass. It isn't my duty to see that anything that God speaks happens. It's only my will to preach the word of God and the word of the Lord. That's my will, and that's God's will for me, is to lay it out there, and it is to warn the body, it is to prepare the body, it is to get the body prepared for the days ahead, and ultimately to turn from their wicked ways, and ultimately to accept him as their Lord and Savior. And so that is my only purpose in bringing this word to you, and that is God's purpose. And because my purpose is lined up with God's, I'm going to be an obedient servant to him and deliver the word as he has given it to me. I'm going to be an obedient servant and just lay the word out there. And I hope it causes you, brother and sister, to reflect on your life. I hope it causes you to think about what you're doing, think about your next step, think about tomorrow, think about next week, and think about what you're doing today. Are you serving the Lord? Are you being obedient and where the Lord is calling you? And we're going to touch on a few aspects of that here in just a moment, about, you know, being in the fellowship and serving the Lord. And so if you're not doing that, and this message pricks your heart a little bit, and this message stirs up your conscience a little bit, or stirs up your desire a little bit, well, that's all well and good, because that's God's will. His will in laying out the prophetic is to prepare the body, for the equipping of the saints for their service in promoting the gospel. Well, I'm going to start this dream, and this is a dream of tribulation. It was given by the Lord on 4/23/09. part one, I was walking along beside a big flatbed trailer with rails on the side. The trailer was being pulled by a big truck or tractor. People were putting all kinds of stuff on the trailer, but mostly I noticed metal and manufactured metal products that were headed for a compost recycling program. I was looking at the stuff and couldn't believe what was all on the trailer: new motor scooters, good farm equipment, and other very nice tools and equipment. I asked if I could see the finished compost pile, and a man said, "You'll have to go to another place to see it." Part two, I went into a general store, like the old kind of mercantile stores that were prevalent many years ago, and bought a homemade Jayhawk planter and charged it on a credit card. And for those of you who don't know, a Jayhawk planter is an old type of hand-operated planter that you could plant just a seed or two at a time, and you just jabbed in the ground and pulled this spring-loaded hand lever, and it opened up the planter and dropped the seed down a tube, and then and as you closed it, you stepped on the hole, and that's the way you could plant corn or other types of seed. And then part three, the Lord showed me sitting in a church pew with some people beside me. Well, the interpretation of the dream is such as this: in the days ahead, people will be giving up much to keep going and keep food on their table for themselves and their family. And that's the whole idea behind the people were putting manufactured goods and nice tools and nice equipment and all this, all these toys on the trailer to go into a compost pile, because new and expensive things will be sacrificed in a heartbeat for the real necessities of life, such as food and shelter. Part two speaks of a move back to the land, both physically and spiritually. The Jayhawk planter speaks of a simple lifestyle, and it speaks of a time when people were connected to the land, and there was a very little distance between the food that supported them and the water and the provisions that supported them and the point of consumption. In other words, there was no long chain between a point of production and a point of consumption as there is now, this very complicated and complex chain of manufactured and processed food that is carried for thousands of miles and eventually ends up in a grocery store shelf somewhere. That is going to come to an end, because there's going to be a move of people back to the land and a simpler lifestyle, one connected to seed time and harvest, of treasuring those things that are really valuable, such as food and shelter. And I've got a scripture here, 1 Timothy 6:6-8, but godliness actually is a means of great gain when accompanied by contentment, for we have brought nothing into the world, so we cannot take anything out of it. And if we have food and covering, with these we shall be content. Well, it seems like there's very little contentment to go around in America today. Everybody wants more toys, and you know, people have a desire for very little of the spiritual life. The churches are emptying out all across the land. There's probably more information and more available resources pertaining to the kingdom of God out there than ever before. There's Christian bookstores. There's thousands upon thousands of books being written every year on Christian subjects and spiritual subjects. There's Christian radio, Christian TV. You can drive clear across the country nowadays, and every square mile is covered by at least one, if not maybe more, Christian radio stations. And so the word is out there. The availability of the word is out there. Just like this radio station is blanketing this area with the word of the gospel on Sunday morning, each and every Sunday. And yet there's a dearth of people that are desiring to hear the word. There's a famine of the word, in a sense. There's a famine. There's a hunger for toys. There's a hunger for material goods. There's a hunger for more material and more food and everything in the material to feed our fleshly natures. And yet God, his word goes out, and many times it is not received. It's just a remnant out there with their knees on the floor praying for this country, and there's just a remnant out there that really understands the seriousness of where this nation is. There's a remnant out there of people who really have a heart to intercede for this nation. And I urge you, brother and sister, I beg you, if you are one of those that has a heart to intercede, I beg you to get into a mode of intercession now, because this nation needs it more than ever before. This nation needs intercessors, people to stand in the gap for those that are lost, people to stand in the gap for our government, and people to stand in the gap for those in prisons. And there's just such a need for spiritual covering for people, and yet there's such an emptiness, there's such a turning away, there's such a hollowness. And God's will is that none should perish. And so if those of us who know Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, if we don't take the message out, who's going to? You know, the scripture says in Romans 8, blessed on the mountain are the feet of those, Romans 10, blessed on the mountain are those, the feet of those that bring good news. And so as we share the good news of the gospel, God is going to bless it. He's going to multiply it. It's not up to us to multiply it. It's up to God to multiply it. But he expects us to go out and share the good news. He told us in the Great Commission, Matthew 28, he said, go to all the ends of the earth. Go to all the ends of the earth. And he said, baptize in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching all that I have commanded you. And lo, I will be with you always, even to the end of the age. And so that is our commission. We don't need to sit around pondering very long what our will is in the Word of God. We just need to go, and God will show you people. He will bring people right to your front doorstep that need to know His Word, and He will bring people to your business. He'll bring people to your farm. He'll bring wherever you're at. If you're willing to share, God will bring people to you. And if that isn't enough, well, you can go to places like the prison. You can go into churches. You can go to foreign countries. You can do missionary work. And God is the one that's going to water it and fertilize it and bless the word as you scatter that seed around. He will bless it. And He's the one that's going to add. He's the one that's going to bring it to fruition. Well, Hebrews 24, if you remember the third part of the dream, the Lord showed me sitting in a church pew with some people beside me, and the Lord brought me a scripture, Hebrews 10:24, and let us consider how to stimulate one another to love and good deeds. And verse 25, not forsaking our own assembling together, as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the end day drawing near, or as you see the day drawing near. And what the Lord was saying to me there was to stay in the fellowship, stay linked up with those in the fellowship, because the trials and tribulations that are coming, we're going to need each other, brother and sister. We're going to need to connect arms, to hook arms together. We're going to need to give to each other like we never have before. Give support in terms of encouragement. Give support in terms of prayer. Give support in terms of financial sharing. And just as the early church did, they held everything in common. People didn't selfishly hoard things, and people didn't selfishly just keep for themselves, but they shared everything that they had in common. As we look back at the history of the early church in the second chapter of Acts, when the New Testament church was born, in Acts 2:43 it says, and everyone kept feeling a sense of awe, and many wonders and signs were taking place through the apostles. And all those who had believed were together and had all things in common, and they began selling their property and possessions and were sharing them with all as anyone might have need. And day by day, continuing with one mind in the temple and breaking bread from house to house, they were taking their meals together with gladness and sincerity of heart, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord was adding to their number day by day those who were being saved. And so that is a picture of where God wants to take the church this day. He wants people to be added to the number day by day, and He wants people to praise Him and lift His name up and not think so much about their own selfish needs, but share with those who have need and share with those who are without work or without money or without food or clothing or shelter, or those who are sick in the hospital, or those who are sick at home, or those who are in prison. And so God's will is that we get out and act like that New Testament church. That's His will, that we get our focus off of our own selfish needs and start to look to those who have needs that we can meet as the body of Christ. Well, the scripture that I asked you to look up at the start of this message, Genesis 47, verse 14, and this talks about what was happening in Egypt at the time of the famine, and this has direct bearing on us because prophetic time goes in circles, and we're going to relive some of the things that have happened in the past, and we're going to know what is to come by looking at the past and studying the past. And so as we go back and look at the famine that happened in Egypt, we will get an idea of what is coming up for here in America. Genesis 47:14, and Joseph gathered all the money that was found in the land of Egypt and in the land of Canaan for the grain which they had bought, and Joseph brought the money into Pharaoh's house. And when the money was all spent in the land of Egypt and in the land of Canaan, all the Egyptians came to Joseph and said, "Give us food, for why should we die in your presence? For our money is gone." Then Joseph said, "Give up your livestock, since your money is gone." So they brought their livestock to Joseph, and Joseph gave them